destination of this coach is Hazard, Kentucky. We do there at 5:15. For your convenience, there's a restroom located in the rear of the coach.
You gonna get sick? Huh? Oh my God, he's coming at you!
Alright, when it comes to 2-year-old Olivia James, you are not the father.
You've irritated the tool gods. You must now be smeared with the holy grease of disdain.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. It's JG's Radio Free Insanity with your host, James Gutman. Yo, Gutman, what's the ish?
That's right. What's up, guys? As you just heard, my name is James Gutman. You are tuned in to JG's Radio Free Insanity right here on WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. Today is Friday. It is the second day of December already. Holy God, can you believe it? Yeah, the year is going by really fast, guys, and we have a great show for you today, so thank you for tuning in. If you stick around, part two, we're going to be bringing in our special guest this week, Vince Russo, who's going to be giving us a lot of time for an interview, damn near 50 minutes there with Vince Russo. Right here on the phone line, talking a little bit about his book that he has coming out, Vince Russo, Forgiven. Let me give you guys some background, because it's something that I really haven't talked about before, and if I have, maybe in passing in an old audio update, but when I was 15 years old, out here on Long Island, I met Vince Russo, and I knew him, actually, before he became what he became. Vince Russo used to run a radio show out here called Vicious Vincent's World of Wrestling. When I was 15 years old, I used to write a newsletter. You could say I used to write a newsletter, but I mean, I had maybe 30 subscribers. We were in New Wave Wrestling. I had my newsletter reviewed. I had my newsletter was in Wrestling Eye magazine, things like that. It was a hobby that I did when I was in high school. And I remember I was looking through the paper trying to find wrestling-related things to do on Long Island, and I saw an ad for Vicious Vincent's radio show, and I tuned in, and it was Vince Russo. It was the Matt Rat, who was a friend of his, and Skull Von Kruss, who you come to know as Big Vito now. Those are the three people who did the show. It was on WGBB, 1240 AM out here on Long Island, also the station that was doing the Get in the Ring radio for a little while. So Vince Russo had his show out here, and I mean, I really got into it. There wasn't really too much to do on Long Island when it came to wrestling. So, I mean, it was Vince Russo. Vince Russo had a deal with WWE by the time I had met him. I knew about his show with John Arezzi, but by the time that I had met him, he was already doing Vicious Vincent's. It was actually sponsored in part by WWF. They would send over guests to be on Vince's show, and I remember he used to do this thing at the Nassau Coliseum called the Arena Club, where once a month, back then it was $50, you would get a ringside seat for a house show, free buffet dinner, and you would get an autograph session with one of the wrestlers who would come in. It's funny now, because $50 today, you can get like a ticket and maybe a hot dog, and then you're screwed. So anyway, we would do stuff like that all the time. I remember I actually went to Halloween Havoc 92 with Vince Russo and a bunch of people from the bus trip. And I mean, it wasn't too many of us. There was maybe 15 of us that would go to these things. So I got to know Vince Russo pretty well. I would call him at Will the Thrill Video, which was his video store that he ran before going to WWF. I would call him every day with questions about you name it, and there were questions. Specifically, it's kind of funny the things that stick out in your head. I remember calling him the day after the Clash of Champions, after Too Cold Scorpio debuted, and I asked him who Too Cold Scorpio was. I used to call him up, you know, what's Bret Hart's real name? You know, I mean, I had questions, he had answers. But he was always cool. I mean, he always used to give me the answers. He never really, acted nasty or anything like that. Vince Russo was always a really cool guy to me, and I always appreciated that. So it was always cool to see him become what he wanted to become. And as somebody who knew Vince way back when, I know that the guy had a lot of passion for the industry. Always loved wrestling, always loved what he did. I mean, he used to do this radio show, which was essentially geared towards kids. But I mean, he put everything he had into it, really got into the things that he did. I remember specifically my favorite story, I think, involving Vicious Vincent's World of Wrestling. We used to do live shows, like live feed shows, from different places on Long Island once in a while. You'd have all the listeners come out. And we went to Whitey Ford's Baseball Clinic, it was called. It was like one of those batting cages type of Chuck E. Cheese fun zone type of places. And we had gone. It was him, Skull Von Kruss, Big Vito, and Matt Rat were doing the live show in Whitey Ford's Baseball Clinic. So afterwards, we were all hanging out with the guys or whatever. And I remember this one kid was arm wrestling Big Vito, Skull. So he's up there, and he's got his arm up, and Skull decides to let the kid win. The kid must have been like 13, 14 years old. So Skull let him beat him in the arm wrestling match. So as a joke, standing there, and when I was younger, I was a real, real dick. So I turned around, and I said, "That's why Skull's a jobber." Oh, man, that wasn't good. So he looks up at me. I'm telling you, like, looking through me with those Big Vito scary eyes. So I said, "I'm just kidding." And I kind of laughed, and he shook it off. It wasn't really a big deal, which would have been fine. That would have been the end of the story, and everything would have been cool, except then we decided we were all going to play basketball. So I think it was Vince, Skull, and the Matt Rat against all, you know, one of those things. And I ended up guarding Big Vito. And when he went up for a shot, I went to block him. And that is when I chopped Big Vito in the mouth. Yeah, that wasn't good at all. And he turned around, and I remember him glaring at me. And I said, God, I'm really, really sorry. He just kind of wiped his mouth and walked away and just kind of left it at that. So, yeah, he didn't kick my ass. He could have kicked my ass. I mean, he still kicked my ass. He's Big Vito. But it's all good. So, yeah, I mean, things like that, stories like that were a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun back in the days of Vicious Vincent's World of Wrestling. And, I mean, and through the years, you know, Vince got involved in the industry, and I always kind of, you know, watched and observed what he was doing. And I know a lot of people came down on him for a lot of things, but there's one thing about Vince Russo that I know that a lot of us really can't question. Whether you agree with his ideas about the industry, whether or not you think that he's in it for whatever reason he's in it for, there's one thing you can't take away from Vince Russo. Vince Russo has a passion for this business, and even back in the day, when I knew him on Long Island, I mean, for him to put as much energy as he did into what he did, and to love it as much as he did, really speaks volumes. So, I mean, the guy was a really good guy, and, I mean, here we are today. It's funny, I mean, it's like 12 years later, you know, I mean, we've spoken on email a few times, but this is one of the first times we're going to be speaking on the phone, so it's going to be pretty cool. So, Vince Russo will be coming on later on today. He'll have plenty to say. We're going to be talking a little bit about WWF, WWE. We're not going to spend too much time on WCW, because I kind of feel like everyone spends a lot of time on WCW, but one question that I will ask, something that has always bothered me, and I've always been public about this, is Vince Russo's situation with Rowdy Roddy Piper at the NWA TNA pay-per-view, the whole "Did You Kill Owen Hart" promo that everyone said was a shoot, a work, and I've always just wanted to get to the bottom of it, and I always said if I ever had Vince Russo on, I was going to ask him about it, and I will. So we will have him on later, so be sure to check out part two and listen to the Vince Russo interview, and yeah, check out what he has to say. Vicious Vincent's World of Wrestling comes to JG's Radio Free Insanity. Now that is pretty cool. Quickly, let's talk about some things we have going on this week. While you're at worldwrestlinginsanity.com, be sure to look around. We have plenty to do right now on the site. If you get a chance, you can check out the Ghetto Vince Rap. That's actually part of JG's Radio Free Insanity. I'm sorry, this is JG's Radio Free Insanity. That's part of JG's Raw Insanity from Monday. It's Vince McMahon giving us all a little rap style. We have columns up left and right. Mallory Molling is up. We have Insanity Trivia. That is up. Uncle Ralph reviewed Kobashi Joe, started the famous Coke Machine chant. So plenty going on the website as well. And one thing I do want to talk about before we get into the moment of insanity, because it's something that's kind of a big deal this week, to the point where WWE is even responding to it, and that is World Wrestling Entertainment's usage of Eddie Guerrero's lowrider on Tuesday for their live edition of SmackDown. A lot of people up in arms about this, and you know what? They're right. Let me give you guys a quick breakdown in case you missed the Tuesday show, like, you know, 90% of the population. WWE had the main event of Big Show against Rey Mysterio. It was booked as David versus Goliath, you know, the big guy against the little guy, but David versus Goliath obviously sounds better than big guy versus little guy. It also fits better onto a graphic on television. So they came out there Rey Mysterio came out in Eddie's Lowrider to Eddie's music. WWE really didn't preface it by saying this is going to happen, so it was kind of the thing that threw a lot of people off. They heard Eddie's music play, Rey came out, he was in his Lowrider, Eddie's, you know, Titantron went on. And I gotta be honest, when it first happened, I was a little uneasy. I said, this isn't right. And I'm one of those guys, man, I was never a fan of when the Von Erichs did it. I was never a fan of using the death, the real-life death or the real-life situation of a wrestler, tragedy, to sell a match. You know, I mean, at least in some cases where it's a wrestler using his own real-life situation to sell a match, at least that wrestler gets to make the choice. But in this case, I mean, Eddie's gone, so Eddie didn't really get to make that choice. WWE did. So they had Rey Mysterio come out in the Lowrider. But again, whatever. I mean, I just kind of chalked it up to WWE doesn't know any better. They're just going to try to get a cheap push out of this whole situation, whatever. Can't be bad. What ended up happening was... Yeah, the match went on. Big Show ended up chokeslamming Rey onto the Lowrider. During the match, at times when Rey was in trouble, he was looking up at the sky and calling Eddie's name, which was just freaking disturbing as hell. And then the thing ended with Randy Orton putting The Undertaker into the Lowrider, backing it into the wall, and having it explode into flames. Now, Eddie died 2 weeks ago. And this aired on November 29th. Eddie died on November 13th. WWE did the skit. I don't know what to tell you guys. Look, here's the bottom line on all this, okay? WWE didn't do anything downright disrespectful to Eddie. I mean, yeah, in a roundabout way, by using him at all, it was a disrespectful situation. WWE didn't do anything to the point of, you know, saying something bad about Eddie Guerrero or doing something bad involving Eddie Guerrero. What WWE essentially did was they knew that someone had died. They knew someone had died that really left fans sad about it. You know, I mean, this really hit fans really hard. World Wrestling Entertainment was keenly aware of this. So what did they do? They exploited that. And they exploited it so quickly after Eddie's passing that that's what makes it distasteful. And that's what really kind of, you know, repulses me about the situation. I think that World Wrestling Entertainment knew that fans were taken back by this. Okay, they knew that fans were hurt by what happened with Eddie, and they knew that people were grieving over it. So they figured, well, you know what, if we can tap into that, there's no possible way they could boo an angle that has Eddie Guerrero involved. There's no possible way they'll boo Rey, you know, Rey Mysterio Big Show if they know it's for Eddie Guerrero. I mean, and something like that is just like, I don't know. I mean, it was a real disrespectful situation to the audience in that they really just didn't seem to care about the feelings of their fans. And that bothered me. And what bothers me even more now is that after the event aired, and after it's all said and done, WWE decides to respond to all the critics on the internet. I wrote something for PW Insider. I know that there's been other articles out there, too. WWE goes out there, and they have Chavo Guerrero and go on Bite This and defend it, which is fine. It's Chavo's deal. But then on WWE.com, on the main page, there's a big thing that says, have a problem with what we did to Eddie's Lowrider? Well, listen to what Chavo's got to say, as if to say, you know, screw you, Chavo doesn't care. Newsflash, WWE, no one gives a shit if Chavo cares or not. This isn't about Chavo, okay? You didn't disrespect Eddie, you didn't disrespect the Guerrero family. If you said something nasty about the Guerrero family, and then Chavo didn't care, well, then you'd be right. Okay? You didn't disrespect the Guerrero family. You disrespected the grief of the fans. You exploited the grief of the fans in order to get a cheap pop. So in that respect, it doesn't matter what Chavo thinks. It doesn't matter what Rey thinks. It doesn't matter what Big Show thinks. It doesn't matter what Vince McMahon thinks or Ed McMahon or Jim McMahon or any other McMahon you could find. It matters what the fans think. And the fans feel, honest to God, exploited. And feel, I mean, in a way, it's almost like, I don't want to say betrayal, because I hate being melodramatic, but it really feels like WWE, at the time that Eddie died, went out there and they put on this tribute show that was supposed to be, you know, about Eddie and about the feelings and people giving their unfiltered, you know, feelings about Eddie Guerrero and memories. And it all felt real. And it felt like WWE really cared for one brief moment. And then to know that 2 weeks later they're going to take all that emotion and that kind of, I mean, you want to call it a bonding moment, but for some fans it was a bonding moment. It kind of felt like WWE knew what they were going through and they related to that. And WWE used that. And to me that's wrong. And there's no way you could slice it. Chavo can love it to death. Chavo can be told to say that he loves it to death. Whoever the hell wants to say anything. This isn't the kind of thing where a wrestler can go out there and say, well, I had no problem with it, and all the fans should be okay with it. This isn't about the wrestlers. This is about the fans. You use your fans are going to get pissed off. And if you can't understand why, well, man, it's not my deal, Vince. That's yours. But you know what, dude? It's all good, Vinnie Mac. You know why? Because, bro, you are down with the lingo, my friend. That's right, guys. Vinnie Mac, give me some more, is our main gangster this week. What the hell am I talking about? Well, word up, kids. Word to your mother. It's this week's Moment of Insanity. Let's get to it.
All right, JR. Time for your colon surgery, and everyone on that, I'm Dr. Heine. I want you to meet Nurse Rockernockers.
It wasn't my fault.
Fear is only a four-letter word.
The world's largest love machine, Viscera.
Woo! As voted by you, the readers of WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, it's this week's Moment of Insanity.
Hey, what happened?
No chance, that's what you got.
And all the girlies say I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
Give it to me, Vinny. Give it to me, Vinny. And all the office says, he's pretty fly for a white guy. That's right, folks. This week's Moment of Insanity was Vincent Kennedy McMahon talking street at the Survivor Series using the term nigga, as far as John Cena being his nigga. All right, what am I talking about? Let me give you guys some background first and foremost. In case you're one of the people who missed Survivor... In case. You were probably one of the people who missed Survivor Series. So let me give you the rundown of what happened. Very early skit in the show, Vince McMahon is backstage talking to his whipping boy, Eric Bischoff, you know, and then they're going back and forth. Really not important, no point to this skit. It was all done to introduce the following segment. And John Cena then shows up. He's standing behind Eric Bischoff, which is the classic WWE go-to angle now, where you know two people are talking, and then all of a sudden the guy they're talking about is standing behind them. It's usually John Cena doing it to Eric Bischoff. It's usually, you know, I'm going to beat up John Cena, and then there's John Cena. Ooh, look, there's John Cena. Happens all the time. I mean, it goes back to when Steve Austin did it, when he put Brian Pillman's face in the toilet back in 97. I feel like they do it all the time. So again, another one of those classic, you know, oh, he's right behind me, isn't he? Oh, my God, you know, it's so stupid. So he turns around as John Cena. Whatever, no big deal. Nothing, really, no harm, no foul. It was a silly skit. So Vince proceeds then to talk to John Cena. They're rapping back and forth, you know, cheap sauce and, you know, whatever else, ham sandwich. So they're going back. And as the segment comes to a close, Vince McMahon goes, all right, John, my nigga. And he starts strutting off. And as he struts off, Booker T, who is standing by with Goldilocks, they look over at him, and Booker goes, you know, tell me he didn't say that. And that was the end of the skit. That was it. Vince McMahon, just, the whole skit was done, so he could say nigga on TV. Now, keep something in mind, because I just want to make this clear. He said nigga with an A, not nigger with an E-R. Therein lies the difference, as far as how WWE sees it. The way Vince used it, he didn't use it in a racist way. He didn't say, you know, he didn't use it to say why he wasn't giving Shelton Benjamin a push, which would have been probably more apropos. But no, he used it as a street slang. So it wasn't a racist thing, no matter how you want to think of Vince. It was done in his way of trying to shock the audience and trying to appear hip and cool. Well, I mean, honest to God, guys, at this point, the only way Vince is going to do anything that involves a hip is if his goes out. That's about it. Yeah, I wasn't really offended by this at all. I thought it was kind of funny. And I didn't mean funny in one of those senses of like, you know, that was a really funny skit. Good job, you know. Here, here, Stephanie. Way to go. No, it wasn't funny in that sense. It was funny in the sense that it shows you how out of touch this company kind of is, and that Vince seems to think that that was the way to really shock people or get people to think, it was cool again. I don't know. I didn't really grasp the concept. I think it goes back to the problem that I've had with the McMahons. The McMahon characters are not well-defined on TV. They're not heroes. They're not heels. They were heels 2 weeks ago, and I wrote about this for my Insanity report, and I ended up changing it, but a few weeks ago, they were heels, firing Jim Ross, kicking him in the nuts, doing Dr. Heine. 2 weeks later, they're acting as babyfaces on Monday Night Raw, with Vincent Shane coming out and threatening Eric Bischoff, not realizing that the audience still thinks they're heels or doesn't really understand. So statements like, had Vince McMahon been a full-fledged babyface, okay, have Vince McMahon been a full-fledged fan favorite that used the term, my nigga, all right, it still would have been weird, still would have been strange, but fans probably would have accepted it more. I think the problem that a lot of people did have with this was that Vince had just recently been a crazy psychotic heel on television. I mean, he humped Nurse Slobberknocker on the operating table after pulling stuff out of Jim Ross's ass, okay? Can you believe I just said that on my thing? Vince McMahon humped a nurse on an operating table after pulling things out of Jim Ross's ass, after his wife kicked Jim Ross in the balls, the whole nine yards, and then, you know, 3 weeks later or a month later, he's on TV, my nigga, and he can't understand why people are not understanding the point of it. Yeah, it's very strange. I mean, for a heel to use that term as opposed to a fan favorite. Now, here's the thing. Vince is now a babyface, but he didn't tell anybody, so I guess that kind of justifies it. Here's the deal, and here's how I see the whole thing. Okay, this was probably thought up at some point during the day. Somebody turned around and said, you know, Mr. McMahon, how funny would it be if you were to tell John Cena he was your nigga? Because that's what the kids say today, and people wouldn't expect it to come from you. And it would probably get some attention because some people wouldn't understand where it was coming from. And that's probably why it was done. The reason why I say this is because Booker T was there. Okay, Booker T, using that catchphrase of tell me he didn't just say that at the very end of it, wasn't done for a punchline. It wasn't necessarily done for any of those reasons. It was done to justify the fact that Vince did it. It was done so that if anybody did overreact and was to say, you know, Vince McMahon is a racist, he can go, well, you know, Booker T was there when I said it. You know, and he's a black man, and he wasn't offended by it. It gets back to almost that Chavo Guerrero thing from earlier. And WWE feels that if their performance justifies certain things, it's okay. Keep in mind, I mean, it is okay. I didn't see anything wrong with it. I didn't think that Vince did it. I mean, maybe the motivation behind it wasn't good. But I don't think he did it to be racist. I don't think that was the idea. I think it was insane in the classic sense of the term that we use, moment of insanity. I think it was a classic moment of insanity in that it was just completely batshit out of nowhere insane. And for a company that really can't get their heads out of their collective asses to put on a decent show with decent storylines, it just amazes me that the thought process and the brain trust that is World Wrestling Entertainment put all their effort into things like saying nigga on TV. It seems weird to me. And it just seemed like, considering the show was so lackluster and so poorly done, it just amazed me that that was what they decided to put their effort into, was thinking of things like that. I mean, I would rather they had put some effort into thinking of good storylines for the show, maybe an angle, okay? So, I mean, in that sense, it wasn't a bad thing. It was just an insane thing. Kind of came out of nowhere. It reminded me a little bit of Heidenreich and Snitsky with I Like Your Poetry, I Like What You Do to Babies. I mean, that wasn't offensive. That wasn't bad. It wasn't anything. It was just there, and it was weird. And that's what Vince McMahon's usage of the term, my nigga, was all about. I don't know, man. It's just weird. I think at this stage of his life, I think Vince is relying on what he hears from other people as far as to decide what's cool and what's not. And I think that's the problem that WWE has as far as what is being put on TV and what isn't. I think Vince McMahon is failing to really tap into today's culture. And I mean, it's the kind of thing where, honest to God, you don't have to be that removed from the product. You don't have to be that removed from pop culture to fall out of knowing what's popular nowadays. And I think that's the problem. Vince McMahon, you know, I mean, the guy's twice my age, you know, and to expect him to know what teenagers are watching, I mean, I don't even know half the things teenagers, I mean, I know some things, obviously, but, I mean, at Thanksgiving, one of my wife's cousins, she's like 13, she was talking about Laguna Beach, and I'm like, what the hell is Laguna Beach, Degrassi, or something, I don't know, I mean, I don't know what these things are, Pokemon, my friend's got kids, and I say, what are your kids into, and my kids are into Power Rangers, I'm like, Power Rangers are back shit, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and these things pop up so quickly, for the demographic that Vince does want to tap into, that young demographic, that teenage demographic, that it's hard for him to know what kids are into nowadays. So I really think all it takes is somebody in the office going, hey, you're my nigga, and Vince going, hey, that was funny, let's use that, can I say nigga on TV? And then that's the end of it, and then he says nigga on TV. So, I mean, that's how WWE operates at this point. I mean, I would really it wouldn't take much for him to do some research. Maybe actually ask people in that demographic what's cool. Maybe ask them what celebrities are popular. Maybe ask them what shows are popular. And maybe, as the owner of the company, watch some of those shows. Maybe watch some of the TV programs that are getting the good ratings right now and see how they're written. Always amazed me that WWE not really understanding pop culture. Kind of like in 2002 when Kane and Triple H were in that feud and Triple H banged Katie Vick, the dead body. And WWE actually said it was like 6 feet under. A show about a mortuary where no one has sex with dead bodies. I never understood that at all. And I think that was the case of WWE not really watching television, knowing what's going on. And this is, again, I think a case of Vince McMahon being told what's cool and just trying to do it. So, I mean, I give him credit for trying to be hip, I guess. I don't know what to give him credit for. Just a weird situation. And I think it was definitely shining a light on some of WWE's problems as far as really just grasping at straws as far as what is going to get a reaction and what isn't and what's cool and what's not. They got the reaction they wanted, I suppose, but definitely not in the sense where it was offensive or shocking. It was just weird and unneeded. But you know what? You guys agree with me on this. You actually voted for it. I mean, I don't vote for the moment of insanity. You people do it. So you got plenty of you guys. Lee says the moment of insanity has got to be Vince using the N-bomb at Survivor Series. No two ways about it. Not only for his use of the word, but who he said it to. His world champion, who happens to be a white guy who tries to look, act, and talk like a black rapper. Or at least a poorly scripted stereotypical version of one, written by wannabe Hollywood writers who know neither how to write character-driven dialogue for a professional wrestler nor a rapper, and instead have to try to write something in between and fail miserably at both. Could Cena call Vince's nigga? Maybe, but I doubt it. I believe even Eminem refuses to use the phrase in his lyrics, and his audience is exactly the demographic that WWE wants Cena to bring to the table. Even if Cena did call Vince his nigga, what would that actually make a lot more sense for Cena to use that phrase on Vince, have Booker T over here, and lead to a feud? It would be controversial, but it's kind of part of Cena's character, and it would add to an edge to Cena, which he could use. Of course, Cena could refuse to use the phrase on moral grounds, and he would be within his rights. He could start immediate backlash, and the character might not recover from. That said, he has used the word wetbacks when he was feuding with Eddie Guerrero as a heel. This strikes me as a situation where Vince wants to make himself look cooler than Cena, so he decides he'll use the phrase that Cena could, would, might use on him. Maybe that Vince wanted Cena to use, but Cena refused. So he decided to do it and turn it into a comedy bit by having Booker T there to defuse the situation. Lee definitely really looked into it and analyzed it well. I don't think Cena refused to use the term. I think he's right, though. I think Lee is right that Vince did try to put himself over at the expense of John Cena. If somebody was going to say the line, it would have been better if Cena were to say it. I think Vince was supposed to say it as a shocking way. Maybe if Cena had said it to Vince first, then Vince repeated it, and it was like, what? That would have been kind of funny, maybe. I don't know. Maybe Cena would have been like, Vince, I'm going to teach you street. That would have been a great skit, too. You know, you're my homeboy. And Vince would be like, homeboy. You know, kind of like, you know, you're a man. You know, you're a man. You know, go back and forth. You know, say, you know, hey, you know, OG. And Vince would be like, OG. And then he'd be like, way to go, Vince. You're officially a gangster. And Vince would be like, my nigga. That would have been good, because it would have been a whole point to it. Instead, it was just Vince saying, my nigga, for no reason. Yeah. Zah also checked in and said, I gotta vote for Ghetto Vince. Then he put a picture of Booker T and said, tell me he didn't just say that. And then X said, I'm gonna go with Vince's N-bomb in Survivor Series. I guess I should be surprised when I heard Teddy Long call Bischoff a cracker just a couple of weeks ago. But when Vince said that on pay-per-view, I was with my friend, and we both simultaneously said, did he just say? Then, of course, they panned back to Booker T and Charmel, so I guess we're all supposed to go, ha-ha. I don't know if Vince thought this was cool or funny, or if he just watched Rush Hour 2 or what, but I can't even put into words how ignorant that was. I don't know what percentage of the audience is black, but that line sure isn't going to help the declining buy rates. Kevin Peel definitely makes a good point. Lots of you guys checking in, agreeing that this was this week's moment of insanity. So there you have it, guys. This week's moment of insanity is Ghetto Vince saying, nigga. Now, if you get a chance, check out JG's Raw Insanity from Monday, where we have Ghetto Vince, the rap song. I'll put a little link on it for the audio, too, in case you guys want to check it out. Definitely, Vince McMahon, word up, Vinnie Mac, you the man, I guess, or at least that's what they tell you. So, guys, remember, voting starts now for next week's Moment of Insanity. Go to the message boards. Vote away in my in my forum, James Gutman's World Wrestling Insanity. Put your vote in, put your rant in. If that is the winner, you might have your rant read right here on JG's Radio Free Insanity. And get ready, because we're getting ready for the year-end edition of Radio Free Insanity as well. We'll have more on that as we come closer to it. But there you have it, guys. That's this week's Moment of Insanity. So without further ado, you guys are going to go on to part two, where you're going to listen to the interview with Vince Russo. We're going to get him on the phone line. We're going to hook it up right now. And when you next hear us, we'll have Vince Russo on the phone. So stick around, guys.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.